Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
I heard this story recently about a gentleman named Nick. Nick worked with the railroad system on the train, and he was one of the top, most reliable employees, big, strong, tough man that worked on the railroad, and you know, he worked there for a while, but he had a challenge. He was a worrier. He really struggled with worry and anxiety, and as he talked with different people, he would often talk about the things that could go wrong, his fears, things like that. And one summer day, the crew was told, "Hey, listen, we're going to go celebrate somebody's birthday." And so they let him go early. And Nick was working in the refrigerated boxcar of the train. And unfortunately, he got locked in. He got locked in. No radio. Before cell phones, he got locked in. And starts to panic. He starts to panic as time goes by. He gets colder and colder. He's yelling and screaming until he loses his voice. He's pounding the door until his knuckles get bloody. And he figured with the temperature below freezing, it would only be a matter of time until the worst would happen. He said, "If I don't get out of here, I'm gonna freeze to death. There's no way I'm going to make it through this all night." The more he thought about it, the colder he got, starts shivering. And in a moment, he says, you know what? He finds a piece of cardboard, and he writes a note. He says, "So cold, body getting numb. These may be my last words." Next morning, the crew comes in, opens the big steel door, and finds Nick. He had passed away. The autopsy revealed that indeed he had frozen to death. Now here's the crazy part of this story. The unit, the refrigeration unit, was never turned on. They looked at the temperature, it says 61 degrees. Nick froze to death because he was convinced in his mind that he was in a freezing car. You know, this story has been told over and over again to share the story of how powerful our mind is. And unfortunately, Nick gave in to the lies in his head, and he died alone. He didn't have anybody to tell him the truth. Can you imagine if somebody was just there with Nick? Just let him know, I don't feel as cold as you feel. Just to tell him the truth, that the unit is not on. You're good, you'll be fine, even if they couldn't get in there, just it's not on. And if he would have held on a little longer, that help would come. We're going to be fine. It's just a few more hours in the morning, they'll be here. You know, even though freedom was fast approaching, fear beat him to it because he was alone. Now, I'm going to get pretty serious here in the next few minutes. You know, there's people dying every day in this city because they don't have anyone to help them combat the lies of the evil one with the truth of the holy one. Now, I'm going to share a new story. And I hate sharing stories like this. You know, it's a story of violence. If you have young kids in the room, you can prepare them. But I went back and forth. Because I don't like sharing this. But I figured that good can come from it if I do. And you may have heard this or may not have, but a couple of weeks ago, a 13-year-old boy, Deshaun DuBose, was a victim of gun violence right down the street at Cascade Family Skating Rink. Not a new story, especially anybody that's kept up with what's going on in Atlanta. Not a new story in our history, not a new story in the humankind, but a story that hits close to home because it's right down the street. Right down the street. Like I said, I hate sharing news like this because my best friend was shot and killed when I was a senior in high school. Some of you may know that, some of you may not. And so, the only tattoo I got on my body is for my best friend, Anthony Jones, as a memorial to him. So this is hard for me. And I usually stay away from stories like this because of my own mental, emotional health, just to make it, right? But I couldn't stay away from this one. Dr. Patterson was the first one that shared this with me. And last week, what they did on Saturday morning, he invited the brothers to come and just invite people to our kickoff service in the neighborhood. So Saturday morning, him, Corey, Julius, they went out and just invited people to come to church. It's a small thing to do, just to do our part, right? Because here's the thing. One, I believe talking about this can bring good out of this violence, right? That if we can see his face, say his name, and really talk about what are some things we can do to help, that good can come from this. But here's the thing, as I thought about this in terms of our theme, Never Alone. You know, it wasn't so much Deshaun that was alone. I think it was his killer that was alone. Here's what I mean. If you go to the next slide, you can see the picture of the young men that are being wanted for questioning. They were all at the skating rink together. They got in a fight, and somebody decided to start shooting. Not a new story. But here's the thing. The killer didn't have anybody to say, don't do this. Don't bring your gun. Don't have a gun. Nobody said stop. If anybody, I believe, has the power to stop senseless violence, it's usually the friends and family of the attackers. It's usually somebody they trust, somebody that has influence over them, right? But if you have a group of people around you that all believe the lies of the evil one and cannot combat those with the truth of the Holy One, then violence like this is unavoidable. Now, if you think about it in this line of thinking, this also applies to police brutality. You may have heard this concept of, hey, listen, I don't know how many everyday citizens are going to infiltrate a police department. I don't know how it's going to happen. How many police men and women who are day in and day out on the streets trying to protect and serve and who have specific set of challenges are going to listen to a teacher, are going to listen to somebody who just, you don't know what I'm going through. How can you come in here and tell me, a politician? You don't know what I'm going through. But who does have that power? They're coworkers. Yes, they're coworkers. That's why a lot of training has become, and you may have seen stories where whenever somebody actually steps in, because it rarely happens alone. It rarely happens alone. That's why the cops are put and sent out in partnership, two by two. You have a part, so you can step in. Man, what would have happened? We talk about that with George Floyd, right? What could have happened? Somebody just stepped in. There were citizens there. Nobody stepped in. Nobody that had on that badge stepped in and said, no, that's enough. The intervention has to come in from somebody within the trusted circle. And listen, we live in a broken world. And at some point, we got to understand that on this side of heaven, we're not going to be able to stop all the violence. But we can spread the love. We can spread the love. So I want to ask you, what circle of trust are you part of? What circles do you have the relational capital to speak life into? What circles has God placed you in to spread the love? Because where God has placed you is not just for you to make money, to live a comfortable life, to have resources, to feel good about yourself. No, God has placed you there for a reason, to be like Jesus and spread his love. And that's the title of my message today, Spread the Love. Spread the love. This is how we're going to do our part to make sure that nobody around us feels like they are alone. But think about it. We can only spread what we have. I can't give you something I don't have. That just doesn't happen that way, right? We just been through a pandemic. You only got it if you came in contact with somebody who had it. Point blank, period. You don't get something from someone who doesn't have it. You don't give something to someone you don't have, right? Something to someone you don't have. So Luke chapter 6:43 says this. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Point number one, we spread what we store. We spread what we store. We can either store up good, positive stuff, right? Like love and hope and peace and faith, humility, positive. We can store that within us through the Word of God, through His church, right? We can also store up evil, negative things like hate and pride and bitterness, suspicion, divisiveness, we can store that stuff up too. So I ask you, what are you stored up with today? What are you filled with? What are we consumed by? Because that's what we spread. When we interact with people, what do they experience? When they leave our presence, what are they left with? When they think about the conversation that they just had with us, what do they feel? What do you fill others with? This starts at home, with our family, as parents. What do our kids get from us? What are we filling them up with? This goes on to, we take ourselves stored up with things to work. What do our coworkers experience? What are we spreading to them? Because we're all spreading something. What about when we go to church? What are we bringing to the church? And I'm not saying that we can't come broken and we can't come with challenges. I'm talking about the stuff that's undealt with. Right? What are we coming with? What do people feel as they leave our presence? What you spread is likely what they will spread. You get that? In the same way that envy and jealousy and bitterness and divisiveness is contagious, so is love. So is love. I mean, we feel it. This morning, as you have fellowship break, there's something you just feel fuller with. When you come to church, you should feel a little bit fuller with love. We feel it. We're emotional creatures. You know, this Wednesday, I was filled with love. I, Man, I spent some good time with God, got into scriptures, got some prayer time, and God filled me. The scriptures say, fill me with your Holy Spirit, you know, so praying about that, boom. Then I went to Morehouse, and I got to spend time with the brothers there. Here I have a pic of Chase that we had a little time with the brothers, and, you know, he was back on his old stomping grounds. He believes that is the desk that he sat in like 20 years ago. Because Morehouse likes to be vintage. I guess that's vintage or classic or something. I don't know. As much money as y'all spend, it still can't buy no new desk. I mean, you got two different. I love you, Morehouse. You got two different type of desks in the room. It's like you ran out. You didn't order enough. What happened? Anyway, Chase felt nostalgic. He could throw up some hearts on there. He was happy. He had got his dope hoodie on. We got time to spend with the brothers. It filled us with love, just being vulnerable and open about what we're feeling, what we're going through spiritually and emotionally. Just got to do that. Then, guess what? We walked around campus and we spread the love. And when people were saying what's up to us, we got to say what's up to them and connected with them and invited them to church, just talk to them, see how they're doing, just encourage them. I mean, just walking around a group of us. It was like four or five of us just spreading the love. Then we went to North Clayton High School, and we got to spread the love there with the basketball team and the wrestling team, and we just got a chance to talk, and you can see the guys there, and we got to spread the love a little bit with the teenage boys, because we don't want any of them to feel like they're alone. Man, I feel like, okay, man, we're doing our part. All right, so they don't got to turn to violence. Okay, boom, we're doing our part. Yes, and then we come to midweek, and we had a men's midweek. And we got to be filled with love again. And we just felt the love in the air, got the encouragement, the camaraderie. Man, a group of us got to eat together and spend some time together before midweek. Man, it was fun. It was give and take. Got filled. Then I got to spread, I got to fill, I get to spread. That's what happens as a disciple when you're living this out with other people. We're just living it out. We spread what we store. Let's make the most of every opportunity we get to be filled with love. Because as we fill others, it really fills us as well. You know, our midweek services are a great opportunity to do that we've been having. We have our women's midweek service coming up. Come and get some love. Come and give some love. Well, we want to be able to spread this love all across the city, amen? But it starts with the circles that God has placed us in. Let's go to the next scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. It says this, for Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Ooh, I get an amen for that. Did you just understand those words? This message of reconciliation, did you understand that? Not counting people's sins against? Oof. I got to get a louder amen from that, because if you ain't say amen on that one. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through who? We implore you on Christ's behalf. What? Be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We can be the righteousness of God? I'm too sinful to be the righteousness of God. That's why Christ had to die. Because you are too. We all are. I don't know if you ever heard this slogan. If you see something, say something. Okay, y'all know it. If you see something, say something. That came about after September 11th. September 11th, 2001, the terrorist attacks in New York City, the New York Metropolitan Transportation Authority decided they were going to trademark this slogan and use it as a nationwide anti-terrorism campaign. And they did this to raise public awareness in two primary areas. Number one, recognizing signs that may indicate a potential nexus to terrorism. So being able to keep your eyes open, recognizing those signs. And then number two, how to report suspicious activity to appropriate law enforcement authorities. My second point is see something, say something. What does that mean for us? You see, God will allow us to see what others are going through. And then he will give us the power and the strength and the words to say something, to do something about it. And that's where it starts. It's just saying something. How are you feeling today? You ever walk in and the vibe is just off in the office? Or you interact with somebody and it's just, The first thing we do is take it personal. That's my temptation. At home, if your spouse is going through something, don't you feel like, man, what'd I do? I don't know about you. What'd I do? Man, she mad at me, right? Like, that's the first thing. But what if we just, how are you feeling? I noticed something may be a little off. Or how's your family? Or how is so-and-so the situation you talked to me about last week? Just following up on something, right? Which leads us to spreading the love by sharing the gospel. If you see something, which is disciples, the Spirit of God should help us to see. If we see something, we should then say something. Something. Something caring. Something loving. Something. Something that is compelled by love. That's what Paul said here. Christ's love compels us. The Greek word literally means to be pushed up on or pressed against. The love of Christ should move us, motivate us to say something, to preach the gospel. See, it moved and motivated Paul, said, because we are convinced, he said. That's a deep conviction that one died for all. It's a conviction of God's love that compels us to spread the love to others. I said it last week. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, you want to be a Christian, if you want to make it, you're going to have a deep conviction that you are loved by God. That you are known intimately and loved faithfully. But that conviction should also compel us to be an ambassador. Man, there's so much to that idea of being an ambassador. Paul sees that he serves in a foreign land as the representative of a king. What do we learn? An ambassador, he doesn't speak on his own authority. They don't share their own opinions or make their own demands. No, ambassadors, they simply say what they've been commissioned to say. An ambassador, see, they don't speak to please their audience, but only the king who sent them. That's their job. That's their responsibility. And it's our responsibility, church, to represent our king, to get his message out. We're called to let people know that God is a father to the fatherless. That our God, he places the lonely in families. Our God, he is close to the brokenhearted. What do you know about God? What's encouraging to you about God? That's what we have to share with others. That's what we got to share about our King, so that they know they don't have to go through this life alone. That's the gospel. You see, that's the good news. Yes, there's conflict in our relationship with God. It's called sin. Yes, we've been separated from God. Yes, that's what the issue is. But he wants us to be reconciled to him. If you're struggling with sin today, If you're battling, if right now you don't know where you stand with God, if you're coming here and you're like, I'm just here. I'm not where I want to be or where I need to be. I don't even know how to really get there. I'm just caught in this cycle of sin. I want to do what's right, but I just can't. I want to know what it means to be saved. I want this, what you're talking about, my sins forgiven. I don't want my sins counted against me. I want to be in heaven. You can do that today. You can make a decision today. Say, God, I want to be filled with your love. And that's why we are here, so we can share with you the things that helped us and ultimately help you to repent, to turn away from the world, turn towards God, be baptized, so your sins can be forgiven, so you can start new, so you can be what this scripture talks about, the new creation, so you can know and feel it. The old is gone and the new has come. Yes, you can start new. But spreading the love is more than just sharing the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8 says, we loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, the gospel, but our own lives too. You see, we have as disciples, we have two special things we can share with people that we can spread, right? We're spreading love. It's the gospel and our lives as well, because that's what Jesus offers. He offers both. He came preaching and teaching, but spending time with people. He could have just given us the Bible. He said, no, I am the Word, and I'm going to become flesh. So if we're going to love like Christ, we got to do both. He said, well, I don't have to say anything. My life will speak for itself. That's incomplete. That's not biblical. It's a part of it, but the other part is that we got to say something. Oh, well, I love to preach. I go out there to preach. I share my faith. I evangelize. Who you spend time with this week? We should see what I'm posting. I'm preaching on Facebook. I'm preaching on Instagram. I'm putting up them reels. I'm letting people know. But you're having dinner by yourself every night of the week. Right? It's both. It's not either or. My third point is sharing is caring. Sharing is caring. Everybody say, sharing is caring. You almost got to say it like that, right? You can't even say that like mean or nothing. Sharing is caring. You know, I believe loving people is our gift as a church. I believe that's our unique gift. I think churches, different churches have different unique gifts. The Bible talks about how we're the body, and I believe different bodies, different congregations have different gifts. I believe loving people is what makes us unique. The authentic relationships we have with one another and have with those that walk in through those doors that we spend time with at home or at work, it's the love that we share. It's unique. And I hear that feedback constantly. Church, how was church? It was a little different. And usually they're talking about it's not traditional as they've grown up going to church. It's just a little different. When y'all end quick too, man. We were out of there and happy. But what I always get feedback about is everybody was so welcoming. Everybody was so genuine, so sincere. And if we don't do anything else, that's what I want to be known for. I'm like, to be known for that type of love? And that's what I, ain't that right? Can I get an amen from the balcony? I ain't forgot about you. I bet is it good fellowship up in the balcony at the church? Yeah? I know that's some of us, that's our seat. You know what I'm saying? You know, sometimes we get assigned seats in the church. Might as well put our name on it. You know what I mean? I know someone's in the balcony. It must be some good fellowship up there, you know? You know, we should just stand right there. Our security should just stand by the stairs. Just let them fellowship for a little bit before they get to leave, you know? You know, you came in late anyway, so you might as well stay a little later. I'm just kidding. It's okay. We all go through stuff. Okay. Love. Spread the love. But listen. Listen. Honestly, we know we're not going to be great at everything. But you know, we want to be great at love. That's what we want to do. We may not have all the bells and whistles and the best this or the best that, but if we have love, we can continue to share the love of Christ. Sharing our time, our money, our insight, our faith, our home, our food. Amen? That's what it means to share our life. And we want to share this with as many people as possible. How are we going to do this? Well, Dr. Jackson said something so good to me a few weeks ago. He said this: we're going to stay where we are, serve where we live. Let's go on mission in our community. I said, I love that. That's how we're going to spread the love all over this city, because we believe that it's going to be done through geographical mission groups. Small groups on a mission in our communities, in our areas, right, where we just love up on one another and love up on our neighbors, love up on our friends, love up on the people that live and work by us. This is the map of where we live. Is that crazy? See how spread out we are? Why are we so spread out? Maybe it's to spread the love. I don't know how many churches have this map of people where I don't know how many people. We drive from all over this city to get to church on Sunday or midweek. That's a blessing. It says something about it, about our church and the relationships that we have, that we're willing to drive. But I think it's also an opportunity. I think it's also an opportunity to spread the love all across the city. What do we need right now? Right now, we are preparing for a new era in our small groups, our mission groups, geographical mission groups. And what do we need? We need disciples to step up and lead in love. What does that mean? We need folks to step up and serve as mission group leaders. We need folks to step up and partner with somebody else so that we can create a group to love up on. That's what we need, just to help create a space, facilitate the time and the meetings for the magic to happen, as I call it. This is our greatest need at the moment. So I want to ask you to go ahead, if you're interested, on your phone, if you go to this slide, please confirm that you got this, where you can put your name and your email address. Is it on there? It won't come up on here. It's on there. That's our greatest need. If we want to keep moving in the spirit, in the direction God is leading us, we're going to need people to step up and lead groups. I know you led groups before. I know you may have been burnt out before. I know it may not have gone good, or maybe you just took a break from leading. I know. I understand. You may have led campus small group. You may have led singles small group. You may have led married. I understand. Maybe it was years of serving. We need you back. We need you back. Well, I'm gonna let other people step up. Yes, that's good. We are. We're gonna raise up new leaders, yes. But this time we're gonna do things a little different so you don't get burnt out. Every single mission group is going to have a partner or a couple that you partner with. So you could go back and forth and spend a little time leading it, spend a little time not leading it. But you will be helped to oversee that group for a time period. Give us a year. Give us time to go ahead and get in these groups, spend 6 months leading it. The other person or the other couple, let's spend 6 months leading it, and then we can reevaluate where we are, and maybe we have other people step in and serve and keep those rotations going. We don't want anybody doing this forever if you don't want to, right? So pray about it. We want to have these mission groups done and set before Easter, because God's going to bring people through those doors on Easter Sunday, all from all over this city, and we're going to have small groups where they can plug in, right, and experience the love of Christ. I pray that you'll take on that responsibility. And even if you don't, whether you take on that role right now or not, and I'm not saying for you to sign up right now. Maybe if you want to, we would sign up right now. But I'm just saying, if you're interested, if you're willing just to hear what it's going to be like, what part of the city you're thinking about, who you're thinking about partnering with, maybe there's one person, one couple that's already thinking about it, they haven't identified a partner yet, maybe you're their answered prayer today, right? So we're just talking about interest, right? Even if you don't, we're all called to share the gospel and our lives. So even if you don't, let's open up our homes, let's practice hospitality, let's go out to eat after service, let's invite people into our homes after service, you know, put some on the crock pot before you leave. It's Sunday morning, you know. Do a potluck. Tell them to bring something, all right? It's okay. Look, I'll open up. I'll share my house. You share your food. Whatever it is. Order, take. I don't know. Be creative. Do something to share your life. Super Bowl's coming up. It's a great opportunity. Great opportunity just to share our lives. I know there's events going on all around the city here. We'll have the college ministry, the single folks here in the fellowship hall. So if you want to do something, we'll have that. Married people, it's a great opportunity just to get people in your home or to go to other people's homes. Have you been invited? If you haven't been invited somewhere in a long time, we may need to work on some things. If nobody wants to hang out with you, we got to work on some things, amen? Everybody wants to hang out with Jesus, all right? You know, I want to just finish up with this. I know there's real things that hinder us. In the past, Atlanta has been called the city too busy to hate. That was a good thing. Unfortunately, I believe in some ways we're running the risk of becoming the city that's just too busy. Or even worse, the church that's just too busy. And while some of us are busy loving people, some of us have been too busy to love people. And if we're too busy to love people, we're too busy to be like Christ. I'm calling everybody who can hear my voice today, here in person or through YouTube, through the podcast. I'm calling every single one of us this week to make room in your heart and make time in your schedule to spread the love. Make room in your heart. Go to the next slide because they got to see this one. Make room in your heart and time in your schedule to spread the love. Make it a priority. Pray for the opportunity to see the needs, to share your life and the gospel with someone this week. I don't know how long it's been since you've done that. I don't know. If it's something you're doing consistently, then bring somebody else with you. Bring somebody else with you. Hold them accountable. Inspire them. Just share with them how God is using you. That's a good thing to do. If it's been a minute, let's repent. Let's get to the root of the reason why it's been a minute. And let's repent. Because the truth is, we wouldn't be here today if somebody hadn't followed the example of Christ and spread the love with us. It's the love of Christ. That love of Christ. And that's the love that we get to celebrate right now as we get ready to take communion. So as we do that, if you don't have a communion packet, make sure you raise your hand. Our host team will get it to you. We celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. I want us to remember, we can only spread what we store. When we see something, say something, and sharing is caring. Let's share the gospel in our lives as well. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. Jesus Christ, who became flesh, thank you. Thank you for the ways you motivate us, you call us higher. Father, I pray for the family of Deshaun DuBose. I pray for the community. I pray for his friends at school and his, oh my gosh, Lord, we're just praying for them, God. Pray that his life can bring good even in the violence, Father. I pray, God, that we will not allow ourselves to be in a bubble. I pray that we will see evil clearly and do our part to spread the love. Please fill us with your spirit. Please fill us so that we can bear the fruit of your spirit. Please help us to repent from whatever we got to repent of, to become more like your son, Jesus. Thank you for his life, his death, and burial, and resurrection. Thank you for his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us, God. That's what cancels the punishment that we deserve, the debt that we owe you. Thank you. But I pray that we can make sure that nobody around us feels like they're alone in this, but they know that they're loved by you and by us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.